Good morning. Did you all sleep well? You know, I have to say, I feel that we are very blessed. When I looked at the weather report for this week, I really thought I was in trouble because I did not bring any clothes for rain. And it actually showed that we were supposed to have thunderstorms pretty much every day. And the Lord has held back the thunderstorms. And I understand how these kind of roofs work, and if we had thunderstorms, it would be very hard to be speaking. So praise the Lord for how he is working. So today, my presentation is called Be Utterly Amazed, but before that happens, we all know what happens first. I'm scared to turn because someone's going to shoot their hand up before I even finish reading it. Okay, quiz time. What was the name of the app that is used for sending the cell phone evangelism messages? Yes. No, I said which app? No, I'm just joking. And here is a hat for you. You know, I will fully admit that as an American, I had no idea what WhatsApp was until I got to AWR. Because one, I don't have friends who live outside of America, and so I didn't understand that many people are using this, especially if people are from different ethnic backgrounds. A lot of Hispanics where their families are still overseas. In Texas, everyone uses WhatsApp, and I just never knew about it. But it's so neat to be able to correspond with people and talk with people no matter where they are in the world, and not have to pay for it. So we are grateful for WhatsApp. Facebook just bought WhatsApp. So please pray for, because once, you know, apps don't like to play well together. Do you notice that? Like, if you have an Apple product, we don't really work well with Microsoft, and Microsoft doesn't want to work well with Apple. It's just so much fun, isn't it? But there has been stuff coming out, because we try to keep on top of these kind of trends. And I was talking about changes Facebook would like to make to WhatsApp. And if they make some of them, it would actually be very hard for cell phone evangelism. So we want to be able to do as much as we can with the time that we have. But we are already thinking ahead to ways that we can do this in different forms. You always have to be like one step ahead. In Habakkuk, it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I remember my first day coming into the AWR offices. And I'll be honest, I had not really heard many mission stories before that. If you go onto our website, I am sad to say I don't think you would actually know much about what's going on at AWR. Sometimes it is hard to get information about what's going on. I am not sure why this is. However, we are very much working on that. That was one of the big things I said when I got here. I was like, I had a hard time figuring out if I wanted to accept a job here because I didn't even know what you guys did. I couldn't even figure out who our VPs were. And so we talked about we're actually in the middle of like doing a whole website redesign so that it's much more user-friendly. You can find out information. But we already have started making some easy, fast changes. So now you can see, you know, some news that's going on. You can actually go on. You can see all the videos that I'm posting. You can go to awr.org. You can see the videos. You can share them on social media channels directly from our website. But when I was sitting there, I remember sitting in our very first worship, and everyone had just come back from something. I don't even know where, because they're gone all the time, it feels like. And they come back, and we always hear these incredible stories. And I was like, I can't believe this really happens. And I was just stunned by the fact that it was actually over in Africa, I do remember now, and it was about these churches where they had been contacted and they'd been listening to the radio, and entire churches were moving over, entire congregations, 1,000 people or more, were moving to the Seventh-day Adventist faith because of the radio stations. Entire churches, not just like a person here and a person there. And then I remember them talking about the fact that there were 16 pastors not Pathfinders, pastors in the Philippines who had called on one of our radio producers to come and speak to them. And so he prayed about what he was going to speak to them about, and he decided to speak on the Sabbath. They are now studying, all of these pastors are studying with this producer, and they are all convicted of the Sabbath. 16 Sunday pastors, and they are teaching the churches everything that they're being taught. It's amazing once you hear about it. And I think that oftentimes because we are not hearing about the mission work of the church, I think sometimes we get discouraged as a church. We don't know what is going on, so there leads to this apathy. There's less giving. Did you know that giving to missions, foreign missions, Spirit of Prophecy talks about this, but then the most interesting part is there is actually data that has been researched to back this up from secular organizations. When people donate to foreign missions, giving at the church level increases. When people start investing themselves and reading the stories about and learning more about foreign missions, missions in evangelism in their local churches goes up. I don't think Ellen White was wrong. It is because when we think about the bigger picture, it makes us more excited about the local picture. Once we see how God is working, it makes us excited and we want to see the same results. So today I am going to be sharing with you stories of how God is working around the world. And I hope to inspire you as you see lives transformed. The first thing we are going to be sharing is this. It's going to actually let you see one of our radio studios in Madagascar.
Hi, I'm Cami Ubman, and this is your AWR 360 moment. We are so excited to be here in Madagascar. I am surrounded by the most talented team, AWR team that is broadcasting all over this beautiful country. Amazing programs. But you know what? I'm going to have Ray Allen, Vice President with AWR, tell you more details about these incredible people.
Actually, of all the many studios that produce languages throughout Africa, I must say that our studio in Madagascar is the very best. We have over 50 volunteers working here with just a handful of paid staff, but yet still the production that comes out of this very place that we're in today is phenomenal.
Amen.
We produce one hour of fresh, original programs every day. And more than that, the quality of the programs are just outside of this world. And I must say the drama is something that captures my heart very much. The drama team are one of the best, not only within Africa, within our system, but also throughout all of Madagascar. Non-Adventists, Christians, and others alike just love to hear this program. And if they ever hear one of the voices of our dramatists here, they're attracted immediately to them. And it's as if they want them to do a drama right there and then. And this could be in the streets that this happens. So we're very proud of what happens here at the studio in Madagascar, Malagasy language, and well, inspired all the time.
Yes, thank you so much for your dedicated, amazing work that you're doing through AWR for God, winning souls for the kingdom. Thank you so much. This has been your AWR 360 moment.
So I had the privilege of meeting three of those people when I was over in Tanzania, and they came and they did some of the evangelistic work with us, but they are so passionate, on fire for God. When I was in Tanzania, I was able to meet with producers from over 30 countries in Africa, and it was so interesting to hear their stories, and their excitement for why they do what they do, and it becomes contagious. The more you share your story and your testimony, the more contagious it is. And everybody has a story to share. The more we share our testimonies, the more all of our faiths are increased. I want to tell you about Robert Dulay. He actually is a radio producer in the Philippines. Well, he was. He's now working for us in a different capacity. But ahead of our Palawan evangelism meetings, We decided that we were going to build some stations on the island of Mindoro. So Philippines are a bunch of long island group. Mindoro is near the top. So in Mindoro, we decided to put up some stations, hoping to be able to reach some different people. And Robert Dulai was the person who was kind of taking charge of this station. In the Philippines, I don't know how much you know about it, but they've actually been at war in the Philippines for quite some time. There is a rebel army. They're actually considered terrorists. There's a rebel army that has been fighting against the governmental army for a long time. There's like areas where if you were walking up it, you pretty much can be known that you're going to be shot down. It's not really a safe area. We did not go with the thoughts that we are trying to reach these rebels. We weren't even sure it was going to reach into the hills where they were. But Robert was faithful to the call that God gave him. And how many of you watched our video in March for the annual offering? Anybody? Good job. Some churches show it. Some are not able to. Some just read the story. But because I know not all churches do, I didn't want anyone to miss this. This is a story about how rebels gave up their guns for God.
Find out how AWR Radio has gone past the steel cold guns straight into the hearts of ruthless rebels. This is AWR 360.
Adventist World Radio has been broadcasting God's last day message to the unreached people groups of the world in their own languages from its very beginning. AWR began 48 years ago in 1971, and our mission and vision have grown beyond all expectations. I believe Jesus is coming very, very soon, and all God's people must take part in spreading the gospel all around the world, all around this old ball of mud. Our expanded focus of AWR 360 broadcast of baptism reaches people not only through the radio, but also through most media platforms, cell phone evangelism, and mobile medical clinics. Now, incredible results are happening all over the world because of this enhanced direction, which, by the way, was the dream of Alan Steele, the founder of Adventist World Radio.
One of those meetings took place 1 year ago on the island of Mindoro in the Philippines. Along with the broadcast, many meetings took place, and more than 2,000 were baptized. Then, soon after, over 77 new villages turned their lives over to the Lord as the layman radio hosts kept preaching. But then, some of the new listeners made a surprise visit to one of our AWR radio broadcasters, Robert Dulai. As he was biking home one day, he saw four strangers at his front door. They told him they were rebels. On March 29, 1969, the New People's Army was formed. Armed with weapons, they gradually infiltrated the country. Their goals have been to overthrow the government and establish a Maoist-style communist regime. They regularly ambush police and military forces. Are these men and women to be feared for their brutality, to be rejected and abandoned? Or is God calling his faithful to go out into the highways and byways to preach there too?
They pleaded with us to send someone to the village to preach, as they had been listening to the radio and wanted to know more about Jesus.
It is now 4 months later. AWR 360 is heading to the Forbidden Mountain area, in the midst of where these rebels live. Where Jesus went, he often healed those around him. In like manner, we are bringing in a team of medical laymen who are committed to following God's healing message across the Philippines. Helping take the medical supplies to the staging point is the Philippine military, the 4th Division Scorpion Unit. Seeing the good work that AWR has done in reaching the rebel soldiers, they put forth their full support of what we are doing. They load the supplies, and before we head out, we have a prayer.
AWR, the medical layman, and the military, all praying hand in hand to our God for his blessing in what we are about to do. Finally, after a long and difficult drive, we reach the staging point. As we wait, we notice many porters coming down the trail. They will help carry the supplies the rest of the way up the mountain. This will be a long trip with a very heavy load. Some of the porters are members of the rebel group. Once again, we have a prayer. And then the supplies are loaded for the journey ahead. We say goodbye to the laymen and the villagers as they make their way up the trail. It will be a tiresome trek through the jungles, rivers, and mud. It will take at least 8 hours for some to reach the village. For others, it will be an overnight walk. The next morning, we board a small mission helicopter, and it takes us to the top of the mountain. I smile as I relive God's miracles and how he reached the rebellious, militant-minded soldiers that we were about to meet face to face. As the helicopter comes to a halt, I look at the crowd gathered before us. They are lit with smiles. We are welcomed and the natives eagerly give us a tour. It's amazing to see how these precious people live. Then I sit down with Ephron, the first one who started listening to AWR.
My life was always on edge, and I did many things I would rather not talk about. But one day, as I was listening to the radio, something different came on.
It was AWR's health program.
As I listened, I discovered that these people were helping many with their health problems. They also talked about the Supreme Healer, one whose life was devoted to others rather than himself.
This thought appealed to him, and he felt the need to share it with others. Then he began to wonder, who are these people who are sharing this loving message? He knew he had to find out for himself.
I had to know more, so I sought out the speaker of this program. I sent fellow members of my unit to invite him to the mountaintop. The road they took down many times had been used to hurt or injure, but this time it was different. My friends asked him, "Please, come preach to us in the mountains."
As they met, Ephron shared how he has a desire to learn more about Jesus. And AWR 360 was happy to oblige. Many layman pastors also climbed the mountain to preach. And soon many new rebels heard about God through the radio and Bible studies. And they too had the need to share it with others. And then the day came when Ephron himself walked down the mountain with one final request.
I want to be baptized, and so do many others.
And so, on top of this once dangerous mountain, layman doctors healed those who were sick, and the mouths were cleaned by the volunteer dentists. Our AWR 360 team spoke with many villagers and prayed with many more. Additional rebels arrived because they were interested in witnessing what was going on. Our team preached to them, and then it was time to baptize those who had made their decision for Christ. It was a joyous walk to the baptismal site, and I believe all of heaven was rejoicing with us as we watched Pastor McKee baptize 5 rebel generals, along with 60 other soldiers. These men who were once killers in the land have now died to self. They have laid down their earthly weapons and exchanged them for a heavenly reward. What I witnessed today was truly a miracle. In one of the most dangerous places on earth, Adventist World Radio boldly went forth so yearning ears could hear the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. Lives were changed for eternity, and now many more have a new hope of heaven forever. And this is only the beginning.
Friends, the far-reaching work of AWR is only possible with your fervent prayers and generous financial support. Every donation is so important. Visit our website now to donate online. Keep in touch with AWR. We want and need you with us. Remember, it is only working together that we will reach the whole world with the good news of our Lord and Savior. He is coming back so soon. This is AWR 360.
Isn't that incredible? 6,000 people have come to Christ there. 91 villages, and I actually believe we're up to 96 villages at this time. 96 rubble strongholds have come to Christ during this time. There are two stories that kind of stick out to me, too, that come from the same area. One is of actually her husband was in the rebel army. And the government routinely, it's kind of like this, like the rebels come down, they get the government army, then the government army comes up, they try to get, you know, it's just like this back and forth. And one day, her children, her husband, they were in their house, and bullets just started going through their home. Her husband runs out the front door with his gun. Her and her children run out the back door. She never sees her husband again. He died. She was so bitter and angry about the government killing her husband that she became one of the best rebel leaders. And she trained her children from a very young age to be rebel soldiers. These kids knew how to stealthily walk, and at 10, they had already killed dozens. And one day she heard a radio, and she heard Amos World Radio, and she started listening to it, and she started being convicted by the messages, and she was part of the people that Pastor Dulai was able to speak with. And she told him, "Why weren't you here earlier? Why were you not broadcasting sooner? Because if you were, I would still have my husband." You know, we do as much as we can. We go as many places as we can. We have to have volunteers there. We have to have the money to build it. You have to have all of these things. But that statement drives us to continue to expand the work of the radio ministry. If you had come sooner, my husband would be alive. One of the things that they didn't really touch on in the video is that the rebels are actually paid $500 a month to fight the government. So when a general like Ephraim gives up, he actually loses his livelihood. And most of these people have been trained literally since young kids to be soldiers. They have no other skills. So one of the projects we did in our gift catalog this year was actually we pay $500 for them to learn a new skill. It's not like a recurring payment. We're not paying them to convert here. But we actually are training them in new skills. And they make brooms. They have opened up little farmer stands. And it's been an incredible thing to be able to watch them being able to get out of the life that they were in. The government is so thrilled by the work of Amos World Radio. They are, you know, trying to get as many radio stations as they can on the islands now because it is making a difference in their lives. It is, well, it's keeping the region more safe. But it's a challenge for both sides because they've been at war for so long. And now they're actually having times of peace. And it's the peace that only God can give. This is Godfrey and Sarah, and I love their story. While I was in Tanzania, one of our, Sarah, who is one of our broadcasters out of Kampala, Uganda, at Prime Radio, she shared with me their story. And it's hysterical. So Godfrey and Sarah were both Catholic, and they listened to the Catholic radio station or the secular radio station, and Sarah stayed at home, Godfrey went to work, and apparently both of them started listening to Adventist World Radio. But neither was willing to tell each other about this. So Godfrey would go to work, he'd listen to AWR, and Sarah, as soon as he left, would turn on the radio and listen. She knew when he was going to get home at night, so she'd turn it back to the Catholic station. And it was at about 3-4 months into listening to it that they decided the Prime Radio had a 3-week evangelistic series on air. And so, once again, they're tuning in and listening at work and at home. And at the end of the second week, they said, anybody who wants to be baptized, you can come on Saturday to our station. You know, we'll talk with you and all that. And then, you know, you can get baptized. So Godfrey's listening to this at work, and he's like, I don't work on Saturdays. How can I get into Kampala to get baptized without my wife knowing? So he plots this whole thing out. He's going to leave for work. He's going to pack his bag, but he's going to actually put clothes in it. And he's going to tell his wife he has some business he has to do. And then Sarah is also plotting. She's like, I need to get there, but I need to ask them how to get them to convince my husband of this truth. Maybe they'll come and visit me so he will also be convicted. And so they both have, they've kind of conspired. So Saturday morning rolls around and he kisses her goodbye and off he goes to work. And Sarah says goodbye and packs up her bag and off she goes to Kampala. And they actually, because they, when we get ready for baptism, as you know, you get ready in different areas. In Africa, the men are baptized first, and then the women are baptized next. And so she was out there, and all of a sudden, she sees her husband in line to get baptized. And so she obviously goes through, gets baptized. They their eyes meet, and they're just kind of both blown away. And they did not realize that God had been working on both of them this entire time. They actually were not married at this point. They had been living together during this time. And once they became Seventh-day Adventists and started learning, the church actually helped them throw their wedding. They got married and baptized. And they are incredibly happy, and they're working within their church. And it's a funny story, but it's an incredible story of how God is working on different people's hearts at the same time to be able to make a perfect match. Anyways, it's a fun story. Kampala in Uganda, I am not kidding you, Uganda is on fire for Christ. Those people, when they were in Tanzania, oh my, listening to their stories, if you want to be inspired, I highly recommend flying to Kampala, Uganda, just sitting there and listening to Sarah. That is her name. She will just tell you story after story after story. And if you do not leave that energized, I don't know what can energize you. They are so excited for the work that Adventist World Radio is doing and that how God is using them. So I'll be honest, I'm not sure which video this is because my presenter notes are not popping up on the bottom. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so I don't know why it's not doing it the way it normally does. That's okay. This one here is a fun story, though. This is actually about faith. We talk about faith the side of a mustard seed. I'm sure you've all seen a mustard seed because this is like a typical children's story or, you know, sermon example, something like that. I wonder, though, how many of us actually have faith the size of a mustard seed? This is a story that is actually out of Tanzania. They shot this while we were there in March. And it is about a man and how God uses his faith to protect his garden.
Welcome to a country shared by thousands of animals, over 120 different tribal groups, and home to some of Africa's most famous national parks.
I'm in Tanzania, and this is AWR 360.
My name is Michael, and I live in the northern part of Tanzania. I have a beautiful wife and family, and grow vegetables to sell.
As a teenager, Michael had embraced the Seventh-day Adventist message, but as the years passed by, he laid aside his faith and slowly forgot about God. Michael settled down, married, and began to put all his time and energy into growing vegetables for sale. He took pride in his beautiful garden and always kept it neat. Then one day, something happened that would disrupt their peaceful, quiet lives and ruin Michael's garden.
I started having terrible problems. Wild pigs would come into my garden at night, destroying my plants and eating my vegetables. In order to protect the crops, I began staying up all night to keep watch.
One evening, as he kindled a fire and prepared for another long night, Michael switched on his radio. The station playing was new to him, but the words sounded strangely familiar. It had been so many years since he had heard anything about Jesus. It was all such a distant memory. The night passed more quickly this time, and when morning broke, Michael's little radio was still playing the station he would later learn was Adventist World Radio. The second night, Michael again turned his radio to AWR and this time invited five of his neighbors to come listen as well.
On the third night, a message about faith was presented on the radio. My heart was touched, and I said to my friends, if there is a God big enough to protect our crops, why are we staying up the whole night?
Michael decided he would give God a second chance. In an effort to test and see if God was real, Michael remained home the next night instead of going out and watching over his crops. Before bed, he gathered his family together to listen to AWR and pray for God's protection. The next morning, Michael went outside to survey his crops. Amazingly, there was no damage.
I was so excited and went running back to share the good news with my family. For the first time in my life, I realized that God was real and cared for me.
Night after night, Michael returned home, listened to his radio, and once again prayed for God's protection before peacefully sleeping. Michael's neighbors began to ask questions. They had watched as the pigs passed by Michael's fields, only to eat their surrounding crops. The neighbors felt sure it was witchcraft, but Michael gladly explained about the radio and a God who would even protect vegetables from pigs.
Several of my neighbors decided to test God too and listen to AWR at home instead of guarding their crops at night. And the pigs no longer bothered their vegetables either.
Before long, Michael, his family, and 30 other people from his village decided to give their lives to Jesus through baptism.
We are so thankful for Adventist World Radio. If we had not heard it, we would still be out in the dark, guarding our crops from pigs, and would have missed hearing about Jesus.
3 years later, Michael's garden continues to grow well, and the wild pigs have never returned. Michael loves to tell everyone about Jesus, and with a big smile, shared with us that he is a missionary now. His love for Jesus and the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been rekindled, and he has a passion born from a personal experience of faith and trust. And all of this is the simple result of a radio broadcast and a God big enough to answer prayer.
Thank you for your generous support of Adventist World Radio. Through it, lives are being touched and transformed for eternity. From broadcast to baptism, this is AWR 360.
I love that story. There's a couple things I love about that story. If you caught at the very beginning, Michael actually grew up in the Adventist faith. There are a lot of people who have grown up in the church, and they have left. Relationships often have been severed. People in the church maybe were not as friendly as we could have been. Nobody went after them. Do you know the number one thing they say when people leave the church is that no one actually came to visit afterward? People just disappear. I would guess among the hills of West Virginia, there are a lot of former Seventh-day Adventists. And I bet you there are parents and family that are praying that somebody in West Virginia is reaching out to their family. I know this. I know this because I am praying that somebody in San Francisco will find my sister and her husband and will reach out to them. I am praying that somehow somebody will be able to pierce their hearts in a way that somehow we as her family cannot. When I took the job at the General Conference, I will tell you, the devil is working really hard on the families of your leaders. Some of you might not know this, but at the very top of our leadership is a man who has grandchildren who are dying. 9-year-old kids who are dying. The devil is working hard. I wanted to give everything to this ministry, and 3 weeks into starting, my sister tells me on the phone with my older sister, I no longer believe in God. It's a joke. Her and her husband have become Buddhist. And my heart broke. This is why I do what I do. Because there is somebody praying somewhere in this world, and what I do maybe can help reach their family. It is the reason why when I see people, I am friendly to them because I might be the first face of Adventism that has been nice to them. I have a friend who is Catholic. She worked with me when I worked in children's publishing. And her husband's grandmother was Seventh-day Adventist, or she still is. And all she has done is condemned them for what they have done. Never, she's never been loving, and this is obviously through their eyes that I'm hearing this, but she goes, pretty much, I just think you all hate Catholics. I was like, well, I don't hate you. You know, and I was like, you know, we all have different beliefs and stuff like that. I said, but, you know, I've always loved you, Jess. And she goes, you know what? You are the, when anyone ever complains about Adventism, I always tell them about you. Because you have always loved me. You know, I hope that can be said about all of us, that we are a face that puts positivity on Adventism. I hope when we run into somebody, like my sister, who now has piercings and tattoos, that they are welcomed into our churches. We don't know the story that comes along behind people. I don't think God cares how many tattoos are on her body or how many piercings he has. He just wants her heart. And I love this because Michael gives me hope. Michael gives me hope that although we leave, God relentlessly pursues. This is Abraham, who also lives in Tanzania. And this is faithfulness of a different sort. Abraham is a Maasai chief. And for Maasai, the most important thing is their cattle. It might be more important than their children. I'm not lying, okay? Not their wives, but maybe. Their cattle are so important to the Maasai. It is their livelihood. It is what shows that they have wealth. And Maasai and Abraham was wealthy. He had a lot of cattle. So Abraham was a Lutheran, and he actually started listening to Adventist World Radio broadcasts. And he became convicted of the Adventist message, and he became a Seventh-day Adventist. So as he's listening one day to AWR, he hears a message on tithing. When was the last time you heard a sermon about tithing, let alone it on the radio? Stewardship is one of those things we kind of touch with kid gloves. You know what I mean? But Abraham heard it, and he was convicted that he needed to tithe. So he got all of his cattle together. This is him here, and he counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, tithe. He counted through all of his cattle, and he had 100 cattle that were labeled tithe. He put them aside, he brought them to the church, said, "Here is my tithe." The church received their tithe, and everybody in his village thought he was insane. He just gave up 10% of his wealth. Think about that. That is like the most important thing. 10% just gone, poof, like that. And for what? So it came time. He did the same thing with his goats and his sheep and everything. It came time for birthing season. How many of you have worked farms or anything? I have not. But Dwayne McKee, who is the president of Adventist World Radio, grew up on a farm. So he has talked to us about this. It is actually extraordinarily rare for a cow to give birth to twins. And it is extraordinarily rare for sheep and goats to give birth to like triplets. Over 60 of his cows gave birth to twins. And tons of his goats and sheep were giving birth to triplets. And now all of his friends are sitting there looking at him like, maybe this isn't such a bad idea. And so he goes about, counts out his sheep, but he decides, I'm going to do a double tithe. So this year, he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, tithe, separates them, and once again, they give birth to twins and triplets. At this point, and just for a little humor part, people start now coming up to the conference office saying they want Abraham's blessing, and they are all wanting to also tithe, and we are like, you are not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm like, we don't care, we want Abraham's blessing. He has been a huge witness, though, to his community. But he's also a witness to Adventists. This is actually all of us with Abraham in March. You can see me on the end. Dwayne McKee and his wife, Kathy, and Sue Hinkle, who is our outreach coordinator. And that is the union president next to me. So Abraham is the guy on the far, well, not the far left, second one from the left. That is Abraham, and his driver is standing over there as well. Abraham came and we shot his story. So here in the next few months, we'll actually have a video of what I just presented to you. But the way our video crew works, they show up in a country and they just have to kind of find like a field with a bunch of cows and hope that they can like, you know, hey, can we give you like $50 so that, you know, we can take pictures with your cows this afternoon? They don't really necessarily know what they're getting into. So they ended up taking Abraham to this area, and he was going to do this thing with the video with the cows. And they found out that the owner of these cows was a Seventh-day Adventist. They didn't know this ahead of time. And as we were telling this story to him, him knowing Abraham's a Messiah, he admits he's never tithed. And Abraham's like, why not? And so now Abraham is going around to all the people in Tanzania to share his story of how God was faithful when he was faithful. And the union president obviously is thrilled, as you can imagine. But Abraham is so thrilled that how God was able to reach him, he is now being able to reach others. And it encourages me about faithfulness. Sometimes it is hard to be faithful with our finances. I can serve God. I can be the Pathfinder Director, Women's Ministries. I can do all those things, right? It is sometimes harder. I don't know about you. I am personally not loaded, okay? I might work at the General Conference, but I'm going to tell you, they do not pay us any more than anybody else in the church. We're all on the same trajectory. So my husband is a freelance worker, and we are putting three kids through Adventist education. So as you can see, we probably have tons of money just flying out our door. But this story really talked to me about faithfulness. And I have been challenged in my faith because of his story. And I give my tithe, I give my offerings, but I decided I wanted with my children to do more. I wanted to teach my children to do more. So we sat down one Sunday afternoon for a stewardship council. This was not a church one, this was a family one. And we picked 12 ministries, not my husband and I, but my children. 12 ministries that my children thought could benefit from our money. And I'm going to tell you, the next part is where it got a little scary, because I let my kids decide how much money we were going to give. But I did not tell them how much we had to give. I knew we had approximately about $3,000 a year, in theory, that we could kind of put over to this project. By the time they got done, we were giving $6,000. And then I told them how much we had. And they're like, well, maybe we should change the money amounts. No. I can't wait for my kids to see how God will reward us. And I said that. No, this is how we challenge God. If he has laid these numbers on our hearts, let's watch God work. So when I told you yesterday about how we were going to be sponsoring the Swedish language, that's part of the project. We became partners with It Is Written. Yes, I am promoting another ministry, and I'm okay with that. We became partners with It Is Written because my youngest really thought we should go to a partnership level with It Is Written. You know, we send money down to the school that my kids went to in Texas because during the really hard years, the principal at the Adventist school looked me in my eyes when my husband lost his job and said, every Adventist kid deserves an Adventist education. As long as you are here, you will not have to pay for it. They paid for my three children to go through Adventist education for 1 year because we did not have the money. So we paid for 1 month for a child to go to Adventist school. His faithfulness I hope will inspire your faithfulness. I recognize we are not all loaded. I am not a Maasai warrior. I don't have cattle on lots of hills. But I can be faithful in what God has called me to do. Another mystery. This is a really great video. Surprise! Well, we'll find out in a second what it's about, and we'll talk about it at the end.
Sometimes referred to as the eighth continent of the world, this island nation is home to more indigenous species of plants and animals than anywhere else in the world.
I am in Madagascar, and this is AWR 360.
Today, I am traveling with Ray Allen and the local AWR workers to another remote village. Located far from where we were stationed in the capital city, we found a mission pilot willing to fly our team to the city nearest our destination. The views from 14,000 feet above the Madagascar Mountains are amazing. Upon landing, we were greeted with another long car ride as we set off for the countryside. We are nearing our destination now and will soon see Ranja. Her story is different from any other I have ever heard, and I'm anxious to meet her and listen to her share more in person.
When I was 10 years old, I became possessed by evil spirits. My parents took me to a witch doctor and sold 10 cows for my healing, but nothing worked. When I was 16 years old, I realized new spirits were entering me, and they were worse than the first. They spoke to me in many Malagasy dialects. I saw them, but others could only hear them. When my first child was born, the spirit asked me to become a witch. And when I refused, they caused my baby to become sick and die. Distraught, I agreed to do what the spirit wanted if they would give us another child. 9 months later, a daughter was born. Over the next years, I became a powerful witch. I had no control over my own life, only doing what the spirits told me to do. Through the powerful medicine I concocted, many people were healed. Miracles were performed, and I became a valuable member of my community. I had power to make guns and bullets useless, and in turn, my village became very wealthy because no one could steal our cows. One time, 27 armed men came to my house, but even though they tried to harm me with their weapons, they became powerless before me. I also had the ability to shut the mouths of crocodiles, and our once dangerous river became safe again. At one point, another set of spirits came into me. They were from the water and had power to heal the sick. They would take me to the bottom of a river, and there I would communicate with the spirits for days at a time, not even coming up to the surface to breathe. Even though I was very powerful, could heal people, shut crocodiles' mouths, and make bullets stop, I was miserable.
One day, Ranja met two young people that told her a curious thing. They said they prayed to God and gave him money in return for answering their prayers. Intrigued by this, Ranja went with them to church the next Sunday. She gave 1,000 Malagasy aria and waited, expecting God to answer her prayers, but nothing happened. The spirits continued to have control over Ranja's life, and she was often sick from their punishments. Just when she was about to give up on there being a God who cares, Ranja met a Seventh-day Adventist man. He told her about Jesus, the Sabbath, and gave her a Bible. Listening to this man brought peace to Ranja's heart, and she immediately started feeling better. The spirits were not happy, though, and warned Ranja that bad things would happen if she left them. Ranja decided to choose Jesus anyway, and the spirits kept their promise. Ranja's house burned down, and she lost everything to the flames. Angry neighbors accused her of bringing trouble upon herself and the whole village. The spirits tormented her day and night, discouraging her with such power that Ranja considered giving in and remaining a witch. But during this time, something happened that would change her life forever. Ranja discovered an AWR broadcast. This was just the encouragement she needed, and as she daily listened to the radio, her decision was made. She would follow Jesus no matter what. The spirits which had bound Ranja for so many years did not leave without a fight. They particularly did not like her listening to AWR and warned her to stop. But instead of heeding the spirits, she continued listening to her radio and found that as AWR played, the spirits had no control over her. Through much prayer, reading of scripture, and Adventist World Radio, the spirits left her once and for all, and she is now a free daughter of God. The nearest church to Ranja was 80 kilometers from her home, but undeterred, she made the journey. The pastor kindly studied with Ranja, and soon she was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Today, Ranja leads out in a church she helped build. An older woman now, but with energy and zeal beyond her years, Ranja encourages others that true freedom from demons comes only through Jesus Christ.
So much in my life has changed. I listen to AWR every day, and it has strengthened my faith and taught me many things. Miraculously, I am now able to read and write and love to share with others about Jesus and the life of freedom I now live.
Isn't it amazing how God is using the radio to penetrate through the ranks of darkness and is filling hearts with the light of His truth? Thank you for your generous support of the work of Adventist World Radio, the ministry with no walls, no borders, and no limits. From broadcast to baptism, this is AWR 360.
Now I remember. That's a sneak peek. That has not been released. That has been viewed by 4 people. That actually is going to be released in the beginning of August, I believe. So I asked permission to be able to give you guys a sneak peek at some future stories. If you don't, how many of you get our weekly Friday email? Every Friday, we send out an email, and it has the newest video in it, which is a little one-paragraph thing from our president. But every week, you can watch a new story of how God is working around the world. So all of these videos that you're seeing, you can actually watch them all week long. Maybe starting tomorrow, I'll have like a piece of paper back there. If you just want to write your name and your email address, we can add you to the database, or if you want to, you can go online to awr.org, and on the very bottom of the page, it has a way you can sign up for our newsletter. I love the story. Do you know the longest she stayed under the river was 7 days? 7 days. And they actually, when she was telling her story, they said they had to leave stuff out because it's so unbelievable. People don't actually believe it. But it's like there's a lot of people who have verified this is all true. But for 7 days, and the spirits would feed her these eels, these magical eels, to like nourish her while she was down there. She would come in front of when the soldiers, the Dahalo, that's the names of the people who come and steal the cattle, they would come with their guns, and she would literally just hold her hands up, and their bullets would just fall in front of her. So you can see why her city might not have been so thrilled about her conversion, because, you know, when we do things, when we change, it doesn't always mean it's going to be popular. Obviously, the devil had done a pretty good job of making sure that that city felt secure because of what he was doing. But in the end, God wins. And that is such a reassuring thought. In the end, God wins. So we would love to have you join our newsletter. I actually work to put that out. It's one of the projects I've been working on while I've been here. I help put that out every single week. We also, if you get that, we also put out our quarterly transmissions. I don't know if any of you get that in the mail. It's about this size. We have some back there. And that also shares some incredible stories of how God is working. Just every quarter, we mail you a new one. Which I was also working on Monday and Tuesday. I have to do multiple things. But it's encouraging to be able to get these stories. A lot of people like to be able to use these stories as mission stories in their churches. I know that some people use the videos in between Sabbath school and church time. They kind of show the newest video just to kind of keep encouraging the faith and sharing what's going on in missions. Tomorrow, I'm going to actually be sharing about a bunch of different projects, new things that are happening, things that have happened in the last couple years, as well as new projects moving forward. We talked about the 1,000 Language Project. I'll talk a little more about that, the 100 Largest Cities. I'm also going to be talking to you a little bit about what we are doing to get our young people excited about missions. I hope I'm going to be able to get my youngest daughter to come up here, but she is actually Avenus World Radio's very first youth ambassador. I believe we need to do everything we can to empower our young people, and what better thing to do than to get them up front sharing the stories of how God is working. Not only will it change their lives, but it'll transform your church. Because let's be honest, if a kid gets up front and says the same thing I do, more people are going to hear what the kid says than what I say. Because we always love to see what our kids have to say. We want to support them. We want to encourage them. So tomorrow we're going to be doing that. We're going to also be sharing a couple different, some more stories of how God is working. I hope that you are blessed by these stories. I hope that you are encouraged by them. I hope that they encourage your faith. We talked about faith through prayer. We talked about faith through our stewardship. Faith, faithfulness. God has called us all to be faithful. You know, it is so easy to just let bad habits go, just to keep kind of happening, you know? But when we are faithful in little, He will give us more. You know, I talk about this with my children often. You know, I would trust you more if you were faithful at this little thing that I'm giving you now. I think my husband feels the same thing with me sometimes. But, you know, we have been called to do what is in front of us. Be faithful with what is at hand. And as we take care of those things, God will give us more. He will enlarge our borders. And as you know, I like to appeal at a local level. How has God called you to faithfulness? What areas are you strong in faithfulness? What areas are you maybe weaker in your faithfulness? What are some things that maybe He's been laying on your heart, but you quite haven't taken the leap yet? Because leaping is a bit scary. God has called us to be faithful. How can you help your church to be more faithful? When you come and leave camp meeting, how will it have changed your life? How has being at camp meeting made you a better person for Christ? And if it has transformed you, if you have allowed the Spirit to speak to you, then it is your responsibility to do the same to your congregation, to help inspire them to greater faithfulness, to them to greater mission, to them to go ye therefore. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask right now that you take our faith, which for many of us is probably smaller than a grain of mustard seed, and you grow it. Lord, we ask right now that you will enlarge our faith, and that as it grows, Lord, that we will be able to share in the ways that you have worked with those around us, that you will change and transform our lives, that you will change and transform our churches, and you will change and transform our communities through our faithfulness to you and to hearing your voice and to answering your call. Lord, we are in awe of what you are doing. Lord, now do it in our homes, in our hearts, and in our communities. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.